Good morning. Welcome to Turnin' Podcast, episode number 4. It is Thursday, the 15th of March, 2012. It's currently 7:30 in the morning, and I'm on my way to the office. So I wanted to take this time, have a quick chat with you about dedicated servers, backups, and cloud storage. There's gonna be some beeping, reversing out the driveway, and yeah, there's wheelie bins floating around the place that I'm trying not to hit. Anyway, so I've been running a dedicated server in a data center in Germany for a little over a year now. Company that I host with is a company called Hessler, and they rent dedicated servers, and anybody can sign up for one of these dedicated servers. And the advantage of the dedicated servers they have is most of them don't have a contract as such with them. It's month to month. So if you sign up for a dedicated server and you only want it for 2 months for some testing or something like that, you only need to pay for the 2 months. And at the end of it, you tell them to kill the server and then that's it. So I signed up a while back for a dedicated server, and the first server I got my hands on was a quad-core i7, a quad-core Intel i7. It was hyper-threaded, had virtualization technology installed on it. There was 8 gigs of RAM. It had twin 750 gig hard drives, and in the case of that machine, they were set up as software RAID 1. So Windows raided the two 750 gig drives, and I seen one 750 gig disk for use. And it was running a copy of Windows Server Web Edition, Windows 2008 R2 Web Edition. So there was a couple of limitations on Web Edition, but it did what I needed to do. So This wasn't all that expensive. I had a couple of extra IP addresses installed on the machine, or your request. It's a euro per IP address to get extra IPs for the machine. And the whole thing was set up and running within a couple of days. And I had my websites running on there for a while, and it was all good. Now, the only problem I had with it was virtualization wasn't all that easy. It was running a copy of VMware Server, which is quite an old virtual virtual software, I suppose. It's not really a hypervisor, so it was running an older copy of VMware Server. There was no newer one, and I had a Linux box and a Windows 7 developer box running on the machine. Both had, I think the Linux box had about a gig of RAM, and the Windows 7 dev box had about 2 gigs of RAM, and then the rest was left with Windows Web Edition for hosting the actual website. But this got me thinking that, well, hold on a minute, it might be an awful lot easier and an awful lot better if I went off and actually hosted this as a complete virtual server. So I was asking questions about upgrading RAM and installing Windows Server Standard Edition and a few other bits and pieces. And then start of February, I got an email from Hetzner. They send out a newsletter monthly, and they sent me a newsletter telling me that they had a new server available. I can't remember the name of the server. They have names for each of their servers, and or a code name for each of the servers, I should say. So they mentioned that they had this new server, and it was a newer spec quad core i7. I think it's a 960 or a 980. It's one of these, it's the second generation core processor. Can't remember the exact spec of the chip. I think it's, most of the time it runs at about 3.2 gigahertz, but in turbo mode runs at 3.7 or 3.9 or something. I don't know, to tell you the truth. Megahertz and gigahertz, yeah, it's gotten to be one of those things you don't really look at all that often. As long as it's more than 700, it's grand. Well, I suppose 700 might be slow. Megahertz, by the way. But I don't know, this thing was, whatever the processor that's in it, it's fast enough, it does the job. But the important part was the machine came with 32 gigs of RAM as standard, and it also came with 2 3-terabyte SATA disks. I think there's 6 gig SATA disks as well. But it came with two 3-terabyte SATA disks, and I decided to do a custom OS install on this. So I installed a copy of Windows Server 2008 or 2 Standard Edition. Enabled Hyper-V on the box, and set the whole thing up. And I'm running the website is running on a VM, a Windows 2008 R2 Web Edition VM. It's being given a dedicated 8 gigs of RAM, and it's running grand. It's running in Hyper-V mode and everything else. I've got a Linux box for testing and playing around with. I have a TMG, a threat management gateway, the Microsoft TMG. I have a TMG box sitting, which is sharing the internet connection. So I've got, again, I think I've got 3 or 4 IP addresses with this box. The main IP is associated with the main server. There's an IP dedicated to the Windows or to the web server. There's an IP given directly to the TMG box. And then there's an internal network of other machines. So I've a Windows Server 8 test box for playing around with. That has that is sitting with what's that got? That's behind the firewall. I've a Windows 7 development box, again that's behind the firewall. So if I need to get access to them, I've a VPN directly to the TMG box, and then I'm on the internal network from wherever I am. Which, by the way, works really well on the iPad and the iPhone. And obviously anything else that can connect to a VPN. But the reason why I'm telling you all this was the backup plan. So at the moment, I wrote a post a while back about why I was moving from Jungle Disk to CrashPlan. And at the time I was trialing CrashPlan Pro. And CrashPlan Pro looked like it was going to do what I wanted it to do. The only problem I found out with CrashPlan Pro was it's not available outside of the US. If you're a non-US customer, you can't sign up for this. Which, in all fairness, I thought was a bit of a silly idea. But they have a consumer level just called CrashPlan. And there's a crash plan and crash plan plus. And I think there's crash plan home edition as well. Anyway, these have an awful lot of the same features. And they actually have... I think they've got the same features as Crash Plan Pro. But the features I was interested in is... Firstly, you have an unlimited amount of disk space on the on their servers. On the Crash Plan... And the Crash Plan Pro, the cloud servers that they offer. You get an unlimited amount of storage on there. So that's the first thing. Secondly, you get... you can back up 10 machines. Up to 10 machines to their servers. Included in your price. And you can then back up to other machines that you own as well. You can also back up to friends' machines. I haven't tried that part. But the way I have this set up, my crash plan set up, is the dedicated server is backing up to crash plan whenever it needs to. So crash plan keeps an eye on what files have changed, and if there's enough files changed within every, I think it's every 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I'm not sure what the time is, it will then go off and back them up to the server in or the crash plan server. It's also connected to my machine at home, and my machine at home is set to back up I have a Mac Pro server, a Mac Pro machine in the house, and it's got a Drobo plugged into the back of it via FireWire 800, I think it is, and it has a couple of hard drives. I think there's a terabyte at the moment of usable storage on it, and of a few hard drives to plug back into it eventually to give it a bit more space. Anyway, it allows me to back up any of the machines either on the network or off the network to this Drobo. So the Hyper-V box, the dedicated box, backs up to both crash plan and the network at home, and it does this every so often. Now, the backup software I'm using is Altero Hyper-V Backup, I think is the name of it. I tested a beta copy, and in full disclosure, I was given a free copy of this. Because I had done some beta testing on it a couple of months back, last year sometime. So I've got a copy of this. Now there is a free edition. I think it's limited to one or two virtual machines that you can back up if you wanted to play around with it. And I do have a trial as well. Again, this is, I'm only mentioning this because I've used it. I thought it was very handy. The free edition was given to me as a beta tester, nothing to do with mentioning this on the podcast or anything like that. Anyway, the Altero Hyper-V Backup, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is running on the Hyper-V host, and it's watching the VMs, and it backs up the VMs. I think at the moment it's backing them up nightly, but I'm probably going to bump that to every 12 hours or every 6 hours because it doesn't use all that amount of storage and it doesn't use all that amount of processor while it's backing up, and the VMs are still active and usable. So the idea is that the Altero kicks in, takes a snapshot and backs up the snapshot. As far as I know, that's how it's working in anyway. And then the that drive or that directory where it's backed up to, I then take that directory, and that's what CrashPlan is backing up. So CrashPlan is watching that folder. Anytime anything in that folder changes, it'll back up both to the Mac Pro and to the cloud server, and that's it. I think at the moment it's backing up somewhere in the region of about 250 to 300 gigs of VMs in total. That includes going back in time a couple of weeks and everything else. And everything seems to be working perfectly for that. The CrashPlan software is actually extremely handy, because it's also I'm also using it for backing up photos that I have on my main workstation, photos and stuff I've bought on iTunes on the MacBook Pro. I installed it onto my father's laptop, and it's backing up his iTunes music library, his My Documents library, and as I said, it backs up to both the cloud and to the in-house Drobo. And I think it runs the it backs up to the Drobo first, and then backs up to the cloud, because obviously backing up to the Drobo while inside the network is an awful lot faster. So this is just, that's how I have my backup setup working at the moment. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because originally I was using Jungle Disk. I was using a mix of Jungle Disk and Zmanda Cloud Backup for backing up files. The Zmanda Cloud Backup I was using because it could directly back up MySQL and MS SQL databases. You could also do Exchange and SharePoint, but I didn't have an Exchange or SharePoint servers on the machine at the time, so I wasn't using that part. But it will directly back up these. The only problem I had with it was the fact that it was actually, I was paying per gigabyte stored per month. And with the amount of data I was trying to back up, it was getting rather expensive. Well, actually, for Zmanda, it wasn't all that expensive. It was actually Jungle Disk that I was being charged an awful lot for. I was paying $70-$80 a month for backing up about 250 gigs of photos, iTunes stuff, and a few other bits and pieces. So that's why I started looking at this idea of an unlimited backup solution. And that's where I found CrashPlan. And as far as I can gather, I think I got a deal a couple of days, or I think it was Black Friday. I got a deal from them on Black Friday where I got my first year for half price. So the usual price for the first year would have been $120 and I paid $60. But that being said, the next time that price rolls around, I'll be paying full price for it. It's actually worth it for what I'm getting. And as I said, I can install it on multiple machines. I've got 10 machines that I can use to install it to the cloud, or to back up to the cloud. But I can also back up to my own machines. So if I have machines in-house that I want backed up, but I don't need them backed up to the cloud, I just need them backed up locally, I can say point them to the Mac Pro and just let them back up to there. And it's not counted towards my 10 machines. If a friend of mine wanted to use my storage to back up to, they can download the free edition of it, put in a key that I have, and then they'd be able to point at backing up to one of my machines. Or I think it might be a specific machine, actually. And then that way I can say, right, if you need to back up your files,
point at this key or point crash plan at this location, and they can back up their files to it. And the idea would be that they might give me the same, they might give me their key number, and anything I've got will be sent to them. And speaking of which, they also have the nice feature of, if you decide to do that, you can back up to an external hard drive or USB key, depending on how much storage you have. You can back it up to a key, bring it over, attach it to your friend's machine, or attach it to your own machine from theirs. And then once that's attached, they will then back up to that location. So if your friend is backing up 100 gigs of files, you would take over a USB hard drive, they would back up to the hard drive, the first initial backup to the hard drive, plug it into your computer, attach it, you've then got that 100 gigs backed up to your local machine. When they connect, they then have, they only have to send what has changed, which I think is an extremely nice feature. They do have that feature for the cloud, but I don't know how much it costs, and I think it's a bit more than I'd be willing to spend at this stage. An awful lot of these places are charging 120, 140 quid to try and go off and do it that way, for you to send a drive, or for you to, they send you a drive, you back up to the drive, and you send it back to them. I suppose it's a handy feature if you have an awful lot of stuff to back up. As I said, I think I'm backing up close enough to my Drobo at the moment. There's about 500 gigs of files from Crash Plan from all over the place, from different machines. And I don't know the exact figures, but it's close enough to the same amount of files that are actually hosted in Crash Plan Central, which is their cloud offering. So that's pretty much all I've got on that idea. I asked the question on Stack Overflow what the best way to do this was, and an awful lot of people asked the question back, why wouldn't I just go and back up at an application level? Back up SQL Server directly, back up MySQL Server directly, back up the IIS files directly. And it's more than likely something I will end up doing. I'll just install a copy of Crash Plan onto the web server, back up the folders I want backed up, and leave it at that. But I do like the idea of, if the VM dies I can, especially since I've enough hardware in house, I could spin that VM back up fairly quick locally and be able to go off, spin that VM up fairly quick locally, change an IP address, and be back online within 20 minutes. So if something happens in a data center in Germany, I can still be back up fairly quick. Now, I might lose a couple of hours of log files or something like that, but I will still be online. So it's, I suppose there's other ways of doing it. DPM was mentioned, Microsoft's Data Protection Manager, and a few other bits and pieces. But at the moment, I'm happy with the way the backup is working, and hopefully nothing is gonna happen that I need to back up. Touch wood. Okay, so I think that's us finished for this episode. This is episode 4. We're finally, I got approved into the iTunes store yesterday, So there's links on the, well, at the time of recording, this is the fourth episode, which won't be released for another 3 weeks. So I suppose that doesn't help too much, in all fairness. But to subscribe directly to the show, there is a link on the homepage, podcast.tiernanotoole.ie, TIERNANOTOOLE.ie. There's links for both the Zune marketplace. Well, it's actually a direct Zune link. You need to have Zune installed on your machine if you want to sync this with your Windows phone. Or you can click on the iTunes link and subscribe in iTunes for your iPod, iPad, iPhone. Also, you have there's an XML, the direct RSS XML link is there if you would like to go off and if you have some other way of getting podcasts, you can subscribe through that, or you can download the XML file or the MP3 files directly. Any questions, any comments, etc., leave them in the show notes or the comments section of the webpage. And I think we call that a show. Sorry, I'm tangled up in something. Driving with headphones on is a bad idea, I've come to the conclusion. Well, it's not a bad idea, it's just it can be complicated when you start moving around the place. Anyway, thanks for listening. And until next time, have a good one. Good luck and mind yourself.